Today's daf is daf nun ches. So let's take it from around 8 lines down. Ashkechinu. Does that make sense for everybody? That's the end of the previous sugya, which is Ashkechinu Mar Yehuda. Yesterday's daf was discussing Chulin Bazara, whether that Isser Shechting Bazara, Chulin Bazara, right? Chulin Shinishch Bazara. That was yesterday's discussion. So Gemara says now Ashkechinu Mar Yehuda L'Rav Yosef L'Rav Shmuel Brei the Rabbi Bar Barchuna. See, Mar Yehuda once found these two rabbanim. Tavakaima apischa de Beiraba. They're standing at the entranceway to the Beis Medrash or the house of Rabba. And Amar Lahu, so Mar Yehuda says to these two rabbanim, Tanya the Brisa says, Hamakadish bepetach amor, bebasa bechalav, bechulin shenishcha de bazara. Any of these things, what we list in the Mishnah, all these which are aser bahana. And the lach is Rabbi Shimon Omer mikudeshes. Rabbi Shimon says, even though it's aser bahana, you're allowed to use a petach amor. You're allowed to use bas bechalav and engage a girl with them. And Chachamim Omrim Eino Mekudeshes. And Chachamim say, you're not allowed to. So what we see from this Braisa is Alma Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara L'Rabbi Shimon Lav D'Raisa. So forgetting the other issues right now, just focusing on Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara, which just to say what that is, if I have a non-Kadosh animal, regular cow, I bring into the Beis Mikdash and I shecht it there, it's a Chulin animal, there's an Isser involved. And that Isser, according to many Rishonim, many rather Tanaim, is an Isser deraisa and there's an Isser Ana. But the fact that Rabbi Shimon allows you to use such an animal that's been shechted in the Azara to marry a girl tells us, that's not an Isser deraisa. And that's why it's Mutter Bahana. If you shechted, you violated an Isser derabanan at worst, but still, if you use that animal to marry a girl, it works.
Chachamim make his areas about Isser Hana. So why should this, just because it's a Darbanan, why does that negate it from...
No, because the whole idea of Chametz Shavuot Pesach was gozer to Chametz on Pesach, which is Isser Hana. It's working off a already existing Isser Hana Midaraisa. Here there's nothing
right,
it's working off of.
Right, because it's not Dorish from Kirsatim Chamakom. So
right. There's absolutely no... So they created a Darbanan, right. But the Gzera didn't have along with an Isser Hana. So Gemara says, "Or minhu, is that really true? Does Rabbi Shimon really hold that chulin shenishchut bazara is only a dirabanan?" So now we're quoting a brisa that says, "Rabbi Shimon Omer chulin shenishchut bazara yisrfu v'chein hachaya shenishchut bazara." So let's say a person were to shech the chulin in the azara. What do you do with this dead meat, this dead cow? You can't eat it, so you burn it. So the Mishnah, the end of Temura. Talks about different types of Isser Hana, some you have to bury and some you have to burn. And there's a list. So if you look at Rashi says Yisrfu. You see that Rashi? That's a little less than halfway down the lines. Rashi says Yisrfu. Velo sagile b'kvura. Burning, rather burying is not enough. You have to really dispose, you have to really burn it till it's ashes. Alma, from the fact that he requires it to be burned, Isur Minatara, only Isur Minatara requires burning. Dima derbanan had the isser of chulin shenishch de bazar only be a derbanan. Mi machmir and kolahai, where we require him to go ahead and burn it, just bury it. That's enough. It's enough to deal with an isser midirbanan. Fine. So from the fact that he requires burning it, tells us that it's an isser deraisa according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so Gemara now says, ishtiku. So this is a very good question that Mar Yehuda had posed to Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel, and they were quiet, they were silent, they didn't know how to respond. So also the Kamei Rabba. So they went to Rabba. Remember, they're standing at the entranceway of Rabba's house. So they went inside the house of the Beis Medrash and they asked Rabba what he thought. Armelahu. So Rabba says to him, Palga okminchi. It means Rashi says Palga's kantarin rugil lachlok al chaver. He just tries to start these arguments. He tries to fight and picks fights with people. Don't listen to him. So what do you mean? So what's the explanation? So it's still a good question. So Rabba says, Hacha b'mayaskinan. What are we dealing with when Rabbi Shimon permitted you to use the chulin shenishchut bazara? He said that you're allowed to do kedushin. What was that case? Kegon shenishchutu v'nimseis treifa. Einach hanami, Rabbi Shimon holds in normally that if you shech the chulin animal in the azara, it's an isser deraisa, and you have to burn that chulin. That's an isser deraisa. But let's say you shech it, and you open up and you check to see if they're treifas. You check the lungs, you check whatever parts you're supposed to check. These are sugis and meseches chulin. And it turned out it's a trefa. A trefa means that an animal that can't live more than 12 months. That means it's trefa, it's destined to die within the year. So if there's a puncture in the lung or any other types of trefos, so that's considered a trefa. And that, therefore, Rabbi Shimon holds a shchita on a trefa is not considered a shchita and it's not an iser deraisa then. It was a non-shchita, it was a non-maisa. It's like just killing an animal. The only violation of chulin shenishchet the bazar is if it was a good shechita. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Shimon Latameh, that goes according to his general reasoning, which is what? Disani, the Braisa teaches us, Hashochet is a chefa, person shechs a chefa, v'chein hashochet, v'nim say chefa, or you didn't know it was a chefa until after you checked it. The way it works is when you check an animal, the shochet blows into the lungs. And if it blows up like a balloon, that means there's no holes. But if there are holes, then it's not going to blow up. So you check it after they shecht it. So if it's a trefa, either you knew it was a trefa before and you shechted it, or you shechted it and you only found it afterwards when you opened up and then you saw the lungs were punctured, then you find it to be a trefa. Zeh v'zeh, chulin bazara, Rabbi Shimon, matir bana, v'chacham osrim. Rabbi Shimon holds that is not a violation of chulin bazara if it's a trefa animal. Whether you knew beforehand or if you found that only afterwards, that's actually matir bana, and that's why he permits you to use it to get engaged to a girl.
So this case, on Tosefta Chulin, is it from Lechatchila that it was a behima chulin or it was a behima kadosh and he found it was some trade?
All chulin. This whole thing is chulin here.
Chulin.
He takes a chulin animal into the base hamegdash in the azara and shechs it. So this is the raisa, but he's lucky if it turns out that it's a bit trefa, he actually gets off the hook then. Bishun holds if it's a non shechita of a trefa, there is no iser deraisa involved. Okay, the Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us.
Why would anybody do that, though? Why would anybody bring a chulin animal into the...
We don't do wise here. And we do otherwise, but why cases happen, we don't deal with wise, right? Like, if we dealt with wise, then half the Gemara wouldn't exist anymore. So the Gemara says, Machun v'kidesh b'demein m'kudeshes. The Mishnah told us a few days ago that there's a list of Isurei Hana that you're not allowed to get Hana from. Whether there's Arla, whether there's Klein, whether there's Bas V'chalav, a whole list. And you can't get married, you can't use that to get married because there's no value to that. But then the Mishnah said, let's say I take the Basar B'chalav, which is Asr Bana. I can't marry a woman with this, but I could sell it. Even though there's an Isr not in selling, but when I do sell that money, even though there's an Isr, that money now is actually just regular money. It doesn't take over the Isr Basar B'chalav. It's regular money. Again, it's Asr to sell Basar B'chalav. A person cannot own a non-kosher restaurant. Well, for two reasons, but if it's a non-kosher restaurant that sells Basar B'chalav Mamash Daraisa, there's an Isser to make money off of that restaurant. There happens to be a second Isser we discussed in the Maseches Pesachim that you can't do Schora in general on all Machal Sasuros. So when it comes to, let's say, Nevela and Trefa, there's no Isser Hana involved. But I still cannot own a McDonald's. Let's say McDonald's didn't have Basar B'chalav problems. I can't own a McDonald's because there's an Isser to make money off of Machal Sasuros. It comes up also if a person, let's say, has a stock. If they're, I think McDonald's is publicly traded.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have stock in McDonald's, that's an Isser. You can't make any schor, you can't make any profit off of Machal Sasuros. Okay, but let's say a person does anyways. He sells a Basar B'chalav. That money now is considered regular money. It's not Asr, that money. And you actually can use that money to get engaged to a girl. So Gemara says, Minalan, how do I know that the money is not Tofes, the Isser that I just sold? From the fact that the Torah reveals to me with respect to Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Chayim Kamoa, and you will be a Chayim Kamoa. It's referring to Avodah Zarah. That's a Chayim that's going to be, how do they define Chayim here?
Ban.
Ban?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the halacha is, Kol Shata Mehaya, Maya is an interesting word, but it's Lashon Hayisa, Mehaman, anything that's created from the Avodah Zarah, Harehi hu kamo. It will be just like that. So Avodah Zarah itself is cherem, is worthless, is asr bana. So just like it's a ban, just like it's asr bana, so to anything that you mehaya, that you create from it, even if you sell it and put it onto another money, that money will carry on kamo, it will be cherem, just like the Avodah Zarah itself. So says the Gemara, mechlal dechol yisurim, that all other yisurim, Shabbat Torah, sharu, only Avodah Zarah has a din that the money's tofes, the Isra Avodah Zarah. But the fact that the Torah specifies Dafka Avodah Zarah indicates that all other Yisurei Hana would be mutter when you sell it. The money would not be Tofes, the original Isra. So Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'nelef mina, let's learn from Avodah Zarah. Maybe Avodah Zarah is the source. Just like Avodah Zarah has such an Isra on the money, so to all other Yisurim should be Tofes the Damav. So Gemara says, no, because Mishum Dehava Avodah Shkochavim Meshvias Shnei Ksum Bam Kechad. But I'm thinking now as we're learning through this Daf Yomi, Kedushin might be have the most instances of this concept of Shnei Ksuma Bam Keachar. It's a guess. Fair point. Right now, I think from what we've seen, what we learned together from Pesachim until now, this is, I think, clearly the front runner. Anyways, so since Avodah Zarah and Shvi'is, and we'll see Shvi'is in a second, there are two Pesukim that both have that same concept, that the money will be tofes on the money, or the Isser will be tofes the Dama of. So we have the concept of Chol Shnei, Aksuvim, and Bam Kechav. Two different Pesukim come to teach me the same concept that tells us only those two cases, but Ein Melamdin, we don't learn elsewhere. So what are these two Pesukim? Avodah Kochavim Hadamrin. We already mentioned Avodah Zarah is the source, that Vahisa Chayim Kamo, that the Avodah Zarah is going to be tofes the money. What about Shvi'is Mahi? What's the source of Shemitah? So the pasuk says, Yovel hi kodesh tielachem. When it comes to Yovel and Shemitah are very, very similar, of course. So Yovel hi kodesh tielachem. Shvi'is and Yovel will be like kodesh. Ma kodesh, tofes is damav, just like when you sell hektish. That hektish transfers on to the money. So af Shvi'is tofes damav. So too, Shvi'is, when you sell Shemitah, is tofes as damav. It's going to go on to the money. So if I have Perish Shvi'is, somebody just emailed me a shayla. Shvi'is is still relevant in Eretz Yisrael. He just emailed me a shayla Friday that his neighbor, he's in Eretz Yisrael, his neighbor gave him lemons. And the lemons is still considered Shemitah until May 25th, he told me. That's each fruit has a different date when it transfers over to the New Year's fruit versus last year's fruit. And his neighbor wasn't from. He wants to know, is he allowed to eat the lemons? Does he have a din of Shvi'is or not? Are you allowed to make jelly out of it? So these things are still, could you give it to somebody else? Are you allowed to sell it? What are the halachas? The halacha when it comes to Shemitah, if you sell Shemitah, what was the answer for him was, I said, just don't eat it at all. Because there's another Isser, according to many Mishonim, that if it's a Meshumar, if it was watched over during Shemitah, there's an Isser to eat any guarded fruits during Shemitah.
Even after the date?
Well, no, it's still during during Shemitah year, right. Okay. So this, I said, do you know if he watched, he said, Mestama, he thinks the guy took care of it during Shemitah. So I mean, Issa Meshumar, so I said, let it just...
Well, Meshumar, is it also even after, let's say that these are after May 25th, would also be...
Oh yeah, exactly. Once the Chef is out.
Meshumar, that's right. It. No,
exactly, yeah, right. That's it. Okay. So I told him to leave it in his apartment. I said, leave it in some box, because you can't get rid of Shemitah fruits. So I said, leave it somewhere where it's not going to smell too bad and create any bugs and insects, and just let it spoil. Once it spoils, you can throw it out. So we'll see what happens when he goes back to Israel in a few months when it's sitting in a box somewhere. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, so it's tofes as damed. Just like hektesh, when you sell hektesh, it's going to be tofes on the money. So to Shemitah, from this gzeir sarkasif, if you sell the payer of Shvi'is, it's going to be chal on the money. So the Gemara asks, I ma kodesh tofes as damav v'yotzi l'chulam. Wait a second. When I sell hektesh, so let's say I make this table into hektesh. So now I want to bring the hektesh to the base of Mikdash. They can't do anything with this table. So I sell the hektesh and poda the kedusha onto money. So the money now has a din of hektesh, and that money goes to the base of Mikdash. This table now is chulin. I can do whatever I want. I can lean on it. I could use it. So if that's the case, so af shvi'is tofeses damev yotze lechulin. So the same halacha should apply. If I have a lemon that's from the Shemitah year, and I now poda it onto money, so now that lemon should be completely chulin, just like the hektesh, the table is chulin. But we know that's not the case. The Gemara says it's a special gzeir sarkasif. Even though Shvi'is is very much like hektesh, there's a special gzeir sarkasif, tamalomar, tihiyah, bavyasa tihay. Then when it comes to the initial peros Shvi'is, that fruit, even if you sell it elsewhere, that fruit, that lemon, will always be kedusha Shvi'is, no matter what you do with it. The money that I sell with will also be kedusha Shvi'is, but so too the peros will. Gemara says, okay, so how does this work? Lakach b'peros shvi'is, if I buy with peros shvi'is basar, I transfer the lemons for some meat. Elu ve'elu misparim b'shvi'is. Both of them have the din of shvi'is, both the initial lemons, and now when I transfer the basar also becomes a din of shvi'is. I have to keep all the same halachas. Let's say now I take the basar. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? If you said something that's trying to be poted, but that's something on Tmura.
It's here, Gemara, and Sukkot talks about this. So yeah, so Gemara says, now let's say I take that meat, which is not the initial pair of Shvi'is, of course. Meat has no din in Shvi'is unless I transfer it for it. So that, let's say I switch to basar bedagim. So yatza basar nichnesu sedagim. So now the basar no longer has a din of Shvi'is, that's transferred over to the fish. Now let's say bedagim, yayin. So let's say I switch to dagim and yayin. So yatza dagim, the dagim are now no longer Shvi'is, but the nichnas yayin. Now the yayin has a din of Shvi'is. So now let's say I switch to yayin b'shemen. So yatza yayin nichnas shemen. So now the oil replaces the yayin. And this goes on for on. Whatever the last transfer is, that last thing is Shemitah.
That's the initial.
Exactly. Okay, so achron achron nitvas. The very, very last one is going to be nitvas din and Shvi'is. And the peri asma, the original fruit, will be aser as well. So that's the din in Shvius. So the Gemara now says, Hanich leman damar, this all is true.
Are you allowed to create them?
What?
Are you allowed to create the pots from Shvius?
You're allowed to. You can't do schor. The pasuk says, la'achla, Shvius has to be la'achla, to eat in velo la'schor, but you can't do merchandise, you can't make money. To trade, I don't think there's an issue in just trading. But schor would be usher.
So that guy could have taken the lemon and switched it to something else, no? This lemon case.
No, because the lemon will still, the lemon's the initial fruit. So the initial fruit would always be Shvius. It's the secondary ones. So Gemara says, Hanich leman damar, this all makes sense. Ein melamdin, the one who holds that you don't learn. If there are two psukim teaching me the same halacha, I don't apply anywhere else. It's limited to only these things, meaning all other Easter hana. If I were to sell, the money is actually mutter. That explains our Mishnah. El leman damar, melamdin, the one who thinks no, even though I have two sources, I will apply that and make that a global halacha, that every case that I sell Isser na, the damav will be tofes the Isser. Ma'ik lememar, how will you explain the Mishnah? The Gemara says, mutuk siva. There are some limiting words in the pasuk that limits anything else. Meaning what? Ksiv hach, it's written, ki cherim hu. Only who? Only Avodah Zarah has a din of this being tofes damav, nowhere else. And ksiv hasam, it's written by Shemitah, yovel he, only by Shemitah, in Midiach Chachrin alone, nowhere else. So that's the sugya. This explains why all other Isur Hana are not Tofes as Damav. What's the question from this Gemara, though? There are really three things. There's Avodah Zarah, there's Shemitah, and there's Hektish. Hektish is the third example. That's Tofes as Damav as well. So that's the question.
No, but Hektish, if it's Kabbalah, can actually...
When I sell, if I have make my table into Hektish, and I sell it, that money is going to transfer to the money.
Yeah, but the table is not hektish. In the other case, this we're talking about, it's always hektish. It's always asura.
Which case?
Meaning hektish, if it's kedushas mammon, you can get rid of the item itself. It goes free.
Granted, but either way, when I sell it, though, it will be tofes the money. It does transfer to the money, like shvius transfers to the money,
right.
And so to avodah zarah transfers to the money. So I had this question for quite a long time. And they always view Shemitah and Avodah Zarah, the only example is Tofes Adamov. But then some Rishonim always say, oh, Hektish is also. But then it's a third one. So I just saw, just this morning, that they asked the question, they quote the Ma'ariv Beirav. He's an Achron on Kedushin, I think. He asks this question, and he answers a few ways. He says, you can't learn from Kodesh, because Chulin cannot be learned from Kodesh. It's a klal we have. You can't learn Chulin from Kodesh. That becomes out, that knocks that out. So there are really only two Isurim in the world of Chulin. That's his first suggestion. Then he says, Shemitah and Kodesh are really one source. Shemitah is learned from Kodesh. That's really one source, Shemitah and Kodesh together. And then Avodah Zarah is really the second source. And the third answer he says is, he explains a little bit more complicated, but those first two answers are very satisfactory, I think. Okay. Mishnah now says, the bottom of Nun Chesam and Aleph, HaMekadesh, B'trumos uve'maisros u'matanos uve'mei chatas ube'fer chatas harezu mekudeshes v'afilu Yisrael. A person could take truma and maiser, and matanos is referring to zro l'chaim v'keva. That means when a person has a chulin animal, any chulin animal you shecht, you have to give different parts of it, the zro, the arm, l'chaim, or what, the cheeks, right? And the keva is the stomach, you give that to the kohen. Those are called matanos. Even though they're not kachim, they're still the gifts that go to the kuna. So I could take my chuma, I could take my maaser, I could take my matanos, I could take the mechatas, which is used the waters for the...
This is not a coin, this is talking about...
A regular person, right? A non-coin, exactly. I could take mechatas, which is the waters used for paraduma.
Yes, yes.
I could take the efer chatas, the ashes of burning the paraduma. All these examples, harezim mekudeshes, I could marry a girl, afilo Yisrael, as you said, even a non-coin could use them to marry. So the Gemara says, what we see from all of this, that Alma... Amar Ula says, again, just a straight statement, Tovos Hana Eino Mammon. He holds, when I have my Chumar Meiser, I have a Tovos Hana, I have the right to decide who to give this to. The benefit I have, you can't have a random Kohen like Ezra just come and take the Chumar unless I give it to him. I can decide to give it to Ezra, I can give it to his sons, I can give it to another Kohen. So it's my Tovos Hana. Now, do we view that right of me to choose as value? Or no, it's a benefit, but you can't put any monetary value on that. So Ula says there is no monetary value at all to have the Tovos Hana, to have the right to make an option of who do I give the Kohen or the Chum or Meiser to. But then the Gemara asks, Eisivei Rabbi Abba Le'ula.
How do we learn this?
No, he just said, it's a statement. Just a independent statement, and now we're going to ask a question from our Mishnah.
It's not yours.
Right. So he said. So now they ask him our question.
Okay,
so now it says Eisvei Rabbi Abba Leula. Rabbi Abba said, "What about the Mishnah we just learned in Kedushin Daf Ninches? Hamakadish b'Trumos uveMaisos uveMatanos uveMechatas uveEifar Para Harezu Mekudeshes vaFil Yisrael." So if I have a Truma, I'm a Yisrael. This Truma is not mine. It's not. It has no value to me. It has value to Ezra, but not to me. So how can I give this over to her? So it must be, when I give it to her, she has value. It's a Shavapruta, because she can now decide who to give this Truma to. She can't eat it. So that ability, that right that she has, is considered a Shavapruta, and that is Mamon, according to our Mishnah. So Gemara says, no, Amarle, Hacha b'Yisrael shenaflu tevalim mibeis avi imo kohen. Okay. This is a concept you should get familiar with. It comes up many times in Shas. That if, let's say, Yisrael, his maternal grandfather was a kohen. So let's say, let's talk this way. A Cohen, if a Cohen would have a daughter, and the daughter has a son, so that grandson, then let's say the daughter marries a Yisrael. So the grandson's a Yisrael, even though the grandfather's a Cohen. So the grandfather now has, he has Truman Maisos in his possession, and let's say he's being Morishit. He doesn't have any son, so he's Morishit to his grandson. So his grandson, the Yisrael, could get Truma in his possession, even though he can't really eat it. So now the case is, so let's say the Cohen's now a farmer. So he has tevel. So the tevel that he has to be mafresh truma, but he keeps it for himself. But he still has to do a maisa hafrasha. He separates it, and then he gets it for himself.
And he has to give the coin, all right.
The coin keeps it for himself. Maisa rishon, you're supposed to give to Levi, but we have the knas from the times of Bavel. Even a coin gets the maisa rishon as well.
Right.
So now the coin grandfather has all the tevel in his possession.
Is it called tevel because he's coin?
Yeah, it's still called tevel.
For him, he still has to do an act of hafrasha.
Yeah.
For himself.
Yeah. So he has to do it, but he hasn't yet done it. He hasn't yet been mafresh it. But he dies with Tevel, and it falls to his grandson, now the Yisrael. So there's another concept here. If you look at the next line here, the Kasavar, we also hold Matanos Shelohurmu, gifts, Shumos, that were not yet separated, Kimi Shehurmadam, and we view them as if they were separated. So if I have a pile of Tevel here, even though I wasn't separated, I didn't separate it yet, we view it as if it was separate. So now the Kohen grandfather who has Tevel, he didn't yet separate his Chuma. We view it as if it was. And since we view it as if it was separated, and he gets to keep the Chuma that was supposed to be separated, it's as if the Kohen owns it, and then he's Morish it to his grandson. Now Rashi points out, a much easier case would have been, forget the Tevel. The Kohen Mamish has Chuma.
Right.
And he's Morish it to his grandson. Same exact case, but Rashi said that's such an obvious case. We want to teach a Chiddush. So even if it's Tevel in the possession of the grandfather, it's viewed as the grandfather's Truma, even though he didn't separate the Truma yet, and then he's Morish to the Yisrael.
Is it only according to Yesh Breira?
Yeah, well, that's involved in the Sugi, exactly. We don't get involved, but yeah, all these things, they connect it to Yesh Breira. Yes, very good. So either way, so now the Yisrael has the Truma and Maisos, and it's his. It's his money. Not because of Tovas Hana, because he has rights to the Truma itself. It has value, and he could take the Truma and sell the Truma to a Kohen. Let's backtrack. Let's say I'm a farmer. I am mafresh truma. I cannot sell my truma. I need to give it to a Kohen. But if a Kohen owns the truma, he received it, and then he's allowed to sell it. So the Yisrael grandson received the truma. It's his. He owned it now. He just can't practically eat it because he's Yisrael. He's allowed to sell it and make money off it. That's where the value is. Not because of Tovas Hana, but because there's value in the truma itself, not because of Tovas Hana. That's pshat in why this Mishnah says it works for Trumas Maisos, so you can be Mekadesh. Good? Okay. Zak the Gemara now. Bay Mene Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Me Rav Huna. Tovas Hana Mamon O Eino Mamon. They ask a question. Is it Tovas Hana, the rights that you have to give to whichever Kohen or Levi you want, is that considered a value? Is there monetary value or not? He asked that very question. So Amar Lei, so Rav Huna responds back to him. Tanisua, there's a Mefurish Mishnah. Hamakadish. By the way, you see from a lot of these cases when they quote Mishnayos that the Amaram didn't know all the Mishnayos. Some did, some didn't. So certainly, we didn't expect the Amoraim to know all Brises, but we expect them to know all Mishnayos, but you have occasion where they didn't even know the first Mishnah. I'm not belittling at all. Rav Shechter likes to say that not every person who lived during the time period of an Amora was an Amora, just because they lived in that generation.
Right.
Just most people were Amei Haaretz. Now, anyone mentioned the Gemara has a din of Amora, but there's still different levels of where they what they knew and what they their skills were.
Because there's some Sfarim that come from like Teiman that they know all Mishnayos by heart.
Oh, yeah?
Just plain people.
That's what's part of the education.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, so again, to Mefurish Mishnah, Amar Lei Tani Suha, Mekadesh, Betrumos, and Vemaisos, Vematanos, Bemechados, and Be'efra Parah, Harez, Mekudesh, and Vafil Yisrael. So we see clearly that there is Tovas Hanah. There, Tovas Hanah is Mammon. How else could the Yisrael use the Truma and Maisos to bury? So it must be because of Tovas Hanah. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? How could you say that? Rabbi Chiya responds back, Amar Lei, Velavo Kimna, did we not already establish it? That referring to it would be Yisrael, Shenafalo, Tavol, Mebes, Avi Abba, Avi Imo HaKohen, where the Yisrael grandson received it from his grandfather, the Kohen, his maternal grandfather. So it's nothing to do with Tovas Hanah. Amar Lei Hotziot, take this guy out of here. Take that true, his pshat was incorrect. How can you say it's referring to Tvalim, Shenaflu Me Avi Imo? Ichsefu. So Rabbi Chiya got very embarrassed by this. And who suffered Mishmaisa Kamar Lei? He thought he was referring to that his Svara was ridiculous and to remove that svara from the room, and he misunderstood Rav Huna. Rav Huna was saying, no, Amar Lei, Hachi Kamina Rav Asi Dehuta Kavasech. You're right. I wasn't saying Hotsa, I was saying Hutsal. Hutsal, that we're saying that just in Hutsal, Rav Asi, who's found in Hutsal, says like you as well, that the Mishnah that we just said has nothing to do with Tovas Hanah, deferring to the Dinam of Tvalim, Shenaflu, Me Avi Imo, and that's the situation we're talking about here. Okay. Say that again? No, they were not. That's what I'm pointing out. They're not. Just because they lived in that same time period doesn't mean they're an Amora. An Amora is one who's a founder of the Gemara and is involved in the halachic discussions. Truth is, now, that probably percentage-wise, there are more learned people nowadays than there were back then. There's such a small percentage of people who knew how to read, let alone who knew how to learn. Yeah. But those people who did were of the highest stature for the most part. Okay, the Gemara now says, Nema Ketanai. Maybe we could suggest that it's really machlokas tanayim whether Tovas Hanah is mamon or not mamon. Gemara says, now this is going to be a little bit confusing here. There's going to be like 8 different answers, so we'll work it through slowly. Hagonev tevalo shechavero. If somebody steals tevel of some other guy, there's a farmer who has a pile of tevel, he hasn't yet separated the truma. So what's halacha if the guy steals it? Meshalim lo dmei tevalo shechavero. You have to pay the entire amount of the tevel. Divrei Rebbe, even the part there that's Truma and Chulin, even though you haven't yet separated it, you have to pay the entire amount of Tevel. And according to Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer, Eino Meshalim Elo Dimei Chulin Shebo. You only have to pay the Chulin, but that which is going to be Truma there, you don't have to pay for. Because the guy himself, the farmer, doesn't have any money. There's no monetary value in the Truma, according to the second opinion. Right? Let's see. My Lav, Abhak Miflagi. The Mar Savar Tovas Hanah Mamon, Mar Savar Tovas Hanah Ein Mamon. Rebbe who holds have to pay for the entire amount, even the Truma that's there. Well, me, the farmer, I'm not a Kohen. The Truma means nothing to me. I have no value. There is value because I decide who gets the Truma. So Tovas Hanah is Mamon. So Rebbe says you have to pay the entire amount, even the Truma Shabbo. But Rebbe Yossi Bar Yehuda says, no, I, as the non-Kohen, I have no value in the Truma. I don't lose anything by him taking my Truma. The Kohen loses. So the Kohen's allowed to collect from the Ganav. But me as the farmer, I can't collect from the Ganav because there's no value to me. What do you mean? Don't I get to decide to who to give the Truma to? Elamai, it must be that there is no Mamon for Tovas Hanah for Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. And that's why I, as the farmer, as the Nignav, he only pays me back to Chulin, but he doesn't pay me back any of the Truma that he stole. The Truma that he stole, Ezra could chase him down because that's his Truma. But I have no rights to the Truma at all. That's the machlokas tonight.
You can't tell him I wasn't going to give it to you.
Exactly, right. That, but Ezra, I love you, Ezra, but I was going to give it to one of your sons, not to you. So you have no rights. And they're going to come to me, then I'm going to give it to your nephew, Aryeh Cohen. So you have no rights to me. So end up being the Ganav's off the hook.
Right.
From the Truma, at least. So that's the machlokas. So Gemara says, lo, that's not the machlokas. The Chuyama Tovasana Eino Mamon. Everybody agrees my right to decide which coin it's going to get is not considered of any monetary value. V'hacha b'tevalim shenaflu lo mibeis avi imo kohen. We're talking about a situation where I'm the Yisrael, my grandfather Kohen was merish to me, these tevalim, and v'matanos shelo hurmu kimish hurmu damin kamiflagi. They're arguing about when the tevel was in my grandfather's possession, the Kohen, if he never separated it, do we view it as being separate yet or not being separate yet? If we view it as being separate yet, then I merish that truma that was really his and now it's mine. But if we view it as not being separate yet in his possession, so it comes to me as tevel, my grandfather never had a right to it. So if my grandfather never had a right as a kohen, then I don't get a right to it either. And it's simply tevel. And I need to separate the truma and give it to somebody else. I have no mammon to it. That's the machlokas. Do we view it as being separate in my grandfather's hands yet? Or not being separate? That's the machlokas. Mar savar kimisha hurmadamim. It was as if it was separate in my grandfather's hands. And therefore when I receive it, it's viewed as my truma that I own. And when the ganav steals from me, he pays me back the truma that's mine. Umar Sava, the other opinion, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds, Lav Kamish Hurmadamin. It's not viewed as being separated in my grandfather's possession. It's not his yet. And then when he dies, it's Morisha to me, then it's not mine either. And I have no rights to it anymore. And it never was mine. And when the Ganav steals from me, I can't claim the Truma from him. Okay? Ibai Sema, another suggestion. Everybody agrees when it was my grandfather's possession as Tevel, it was viewed as if it was separate and it's his. And I have no right. There's no value for deciding who gets the kohen, the truma. So what's machlokas here? There's a machlokas in the Shita Shmuel. Who's Shita Shmuel? This is how he paskin, but not everybody will agree to him. Shmuel Amar, the Amar Shmuel, Chita Achas Poteres Esakri. There's a concept. When it comes to Meiser, we know there's a 10% you have to give for Meiser. Truma, there is no shear of truma. So we know 140th, 150th, 160th, that's a din chachamim. There is a Yushalmi, which seems to say that might be a din deraisa, 140th, 150th, 160th. The Babli assumes it's not. Shmuel holds it's not a din of deraisa. So you could take, I could have a huge, huge field of wheat. I could take one kernel of wheat, and this is my truma, and yotze. So that's a machlokis they want to suggest. Not everybody agrees to this. The one who does agree to Shmuel, so when he takes my tevel, so he has to pay me everything, so minus one kernel. So you have to pay the full amount. I could give one kernel and be yotze my chi of truma. So you have to pay the full amount of what you stole.
It's still not full amount.
But it's minus a cent. It's a tiny fine. It's negligible.
The Gemara, not always. It's
okay, fine. Granted, but it's a tiny amount.
Okay.
Tiny amount, less than Shavaputa. Right, so it's therefore not worth. But the other opinion says, no, we don't hold the Shmuel. You have to give something significant, something substantial. So substantial, whatever the shear, let's say 140th, 150th, that's something substantial. So then it's not mine. So when the Ganav steals from me, it's everything minus the 140th, 150th, minus the 2%. So the Gemara says, again, kamifki, the Amar Shmuel, chita achas poteres zakri. The Mar is like the Shmuel, one hold of Shmuel, and therefore one kernel is worthless, and you have to pay me the full amount that you stole. And Mar less like the Shmuel, the other one doesn't hold the Shmuel, and 2% has to be given. So the Ganav pays me back everything minus the 2%. In other words, 98%. Ibai Zema, another suggestion. We're not done yet. We still have two more. The Chuliyama less like the Shmuel. Everybody rejects Shmuel. You have to give 2% of your kri. The Hacha Hainu Taima.
Is that everybody holds that it's midrasa? No, just that.
No, what,
not, either
the Rav Ravana
has to be at least.
Well, the 2% requirement? Yeah. I'm not sure. Lechora, according to the Bavli, I think it's only a Chiv Midirabanan. I think so. Yushalmi might hold it to the Raisa. I think they asked a question, maybe Gemara Chabas is maybe, I don't remember. I hear. So Gemara said, what's machlokas? Here, everybody rejects Shmuel. You need to give 2%. V'hacha hainu taima, the Rebbe, what's the reason for Rebbe that he required the Ganav to pay everything? Really, the Ganav should be pater for 2%. Because me as the farmer, I don't own 2%, it's the coins. So why do we make the Ganav pay the full 100% according to Rebbe? The kansu hu rabban and the Ganav, we wanted to give a penalty. Why should the Ganav get off the hook? Anything. Make him pay the full amount. Okay, I'm going to make some money off of this. I'm getting to get a full.
Also, to stop, otherwise, I will be stealing it and then keep and have to pay back 10% less, and it's always a good business to steal.
Saying if I steal it, you steal it, and it keeps 2%.
You would be promoting people to steal because they steal 100% and they have to pay back only 90%.
Right, so every penalty is in order to, part of it's to deter someone from doing it in the future.
So otherwise, if you're not deterrent, people would just do it.
So that's it's part of the penalty for the Ganav. Mikar Din, he doesn't have to pay the 2%, but we penalized him. Ibai Zema, alternatively. This is very interesting svar now. The Chuliyama is like the Shmuel. Everybody agrees to Shmuel that Mamish, you have to pay the full amount. So we understand why Rebbe says you pay the full amount. But why does Rebbe Yosef Yehuda say you don't pay the full amount? So he says, Hach einu taima de Rebbe Yosef Yehuda de kansura banan leba habayis. The farmer, the nignav, is being penalized. You imagine that? The guy comes into my field and he takes from me and I'm losing out because he stole from me? Why? Right. I'm being penalized for leaving my tevel in the field. I shouldn't have delayed so much. I had a mitzvah to give the Kohen and the Levi, and I left my tevel sitting there in the field. It's my fault. I'm negligent, and I therefore get penalized.
But why would he get? He doesn't get penalized because he doesn't give it anyways. Meaning, he's losing of profiting, but he's not losing really.
He's losing that he doesn't have the chance to give the chuma to the Kohen. I guess that's the
not
loss.
Only if he take that giving to a Kohen, his mom. If he say it's not mom, he's really not losing anything.
Right, monetarily he's not losing, but I guess in terms of just the mitzvah shibah maybe.
It's
a very good point. Let's see. Here, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. No, you need to figure out actually what does Rabbi Yosi Yehuda even mean? If everybody here in this answer says chita achas poteres, which is let's call less than shavaputa, so what exactly is Rabbi Yosi Yehuda taking off?
What?
Rabbi Yosi Yehuda says you only have to pay the demei chulin shabel. So how much is chuma?
But if he's eat the shmuel, then he should be able to give 99% anyway.
Yeah. So what are you subtracting off?
Right.
I'm not sure. Okay. Tzarchin. In the back, I didn't see anybody addressing any of these questions. Tzarchin. Okay, let's finish the parak. Gemara says, quotes from a Mishnah, the Mishnah that appears where? It's probably not a Mishnah. It looks like the Brice it should be. Tanya. It says Tanan, but it should be Tanya.
In our Mishnah. The Mishnah
thing. Oh, it is. Okay, yeah. Tanan the Mishnah says, "Hamikadesh b'chumah v'maisos v'matanos b'michatas v'efer par harizim mikudeshes v'afilu Yisrael." It's a girsa change. Actually, even Yisrael could use chumah to maisos. So the Gemara says, "Ruminhu hanotel schar ladun dino b'telim." A person who collects money to judge cases, he's accepting shochad. Even if it's not for shochad, even if it's just stam taking money, the din is bato. Lahayid Eidusa, he's taking money in order to Lahayid to testify Eidusa Batela. His testimony is thrown out the window. Lahazos Lakadish, in order to sprinkle the Mechatas on people who are Tameh, Ulakadish Meimav, in order to draw the water up and to sanctify the water for the Mechatas. Meimara, it's viewed as Meimara, Rashi's Meimara means Meisruchim Haim. They're disgusting water, they're not fit for the Paraduma. And a pharaoh and the ashes, you get paid money to collect the ashes, burn the ashes. Afra makala, that ash is worthless. You can't use it for the afra para. So what's the shaila here? In the Mishnah, it says that person there is value for afra para and there is value for mechatas. But here it says a person who does these actions, there is no money. You're not allowed to accept money for them. So we see there is no value to it. So Rashi just says, as an aside, rather Tosos argues in Rashi in the top here. Tosos writes meimav meimara. A person accepts money to draw the water, it's Meimara. Rashi says, Perish Bakuntris, Mayim Suchim, they're spoiled, they're dirty water. They're inadequate for the Paraduma. It says Tosos, Ubechinam Dachak Lafarishkin. Why Rashi go out of the way to say Meimav Meimara, which literally means cave water, to mean Mayim Suchim? The Matzin Lafarish, you could explain very simply, Meimara means Mamish Meimara. Cave waters. I'm not sure, waters of caves. Kolomar Mechunasim, that they're collected water. They're stagnant. Veinam Maim Chaim, they're not considered a live water where they're it's a flowing stream. Vanam Chaim Maim Chaim Bainan, Veifaro, and you need a Maim Chaim, like the Pasuk says in Parshas Chukas. That's why it's disqualified. So it's Machlok is how to interpret the word Meimara here. Fine, back to the Gemara. Now, either way, there's a stira, whether or not the drawing the Meimara, the Meipara, and the Mechatas, is that considered a Schar, not a Schar? Could you collect money for that or not? So come as long, Amar Bai says, lo kasha, this is not a problem. Kan b'schar hava, umiloi, kan b'schar haza v'kiddush. To accept money for carrying the water and drawing the water, there's no mitzvah involved in that. That's actually permitted. So that's the type of schar you could use for getting married. But when the Brisa says that a person who accepts money for the haza, that's doing the actual mice of cleansing, and that's where there's a problem, that's going to be usher, and the whole thing's viewed as a batel. And Dekanami, it's very exact, it's precise. Dekatani, it says, Hacha b'mechatas uv'mechatas uv'efer para. It talks about the actual items, as opposed to the Brisa that says Asik Tani Hasam Lahazos, the actions Lakadesh Shmamina. So the actions of purifying, that's where it's asa to accept money, but the actual chefza is permitted, does have a value to this. So this is one interesting thing in the back here to point out. A person, when it comes to, I was asking this question the other day, a person wants to get remarried and doesn't have so much money. He wanted to know, well, how much money do you pay Masada Kedushin? I said, you don't have to pay anything. People like to give sometimes as a nice tip, but there's really no need for that. So in the back, they talk about this Ramah. The Ramah writes that there's a custom to pay the Masada Kedushin for performing the wedding. So it's a big discussion. A person shouldn't really accept any money because we have, when you're doing a din, you can't accept a schar for doing a din. So, and when it comes to Gittin as well, we should be concerned. You shouldn't do a Masada Gittin because there's a concern that you can't accept money to do any form of din.
For mitzvah in general.
So what?
For mitzvah in general.
Well, in particular, when it comes to a din in general, but for a din, there's a big, the whole din's batel. But when it comes to mitzvah, it's not batel. The din is batel. So some say when it comes to Masada Kedushin and Masada Gittin, it's not a din. You're just over officiating. You're making sure everything runs smoothly. We're not judging any case. Not judging a Chosh Mishpah case, you're just being Mesader and overseeing everything, and therefore it's permitted. The Shach still nonetheless writes that a person shouldn't accept money as a Mesader Kedushin unless it's a B'shas Dochak. So there's customs that some people do give, I think most people do give, but it's certainly not necessary, and the amounts of what's given is certainly, there's no set amount at all. It's a nice thing to give, but certainly a person should never feel obligated to give in light of this Shach.
That's a
great,
it's a covered, isn't it?
It's so, a tremendous covered, yeah.
So that's a gift.
Yeah, that's a gift itself. Yeah.
So everyone holds that our Mishnah is talking about that he got table from his grandfather. That's what it is. It's a little bit strange because all the other Mishnayos were like general and this became...
I don't think it has to be that way. Case. I think it's saying you can interpret it that way, therefore you can't bring it as a raya that's about Tovos Hana. Right. It's not Mukhrach either way.
But the Pashat Pshat from the rest of all the Mishnayos is that it's not a specific case.
Agree. Yeah. Okay, Hajin Alach, Ish Makadesh, Haish Makadesh. Okay, Shkoyach guys, we'll start the third pack tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Welcome, Dad.